what I've decided to do is, rather than discuss my views of what communications is or is not, or what a communications studies program such as yours here or ours at the University of Pennsylvania should be doing or shouldn't be doing, is to view it in broader terms, give you a little bit of my view of the evolution of communications and where communications tends to be viewed in university settings as a discipline for intellectual study, and then finish up with giving you a few ideas of how I think any group of people ought to go about structuring the study of communications. Communications is something that it has been all things to all people. It's everything and it's nothing. You can defy someone to tell you that something is not communications, yet when it comes to the traditional academic proprietary interests, everyone can claim to be doing something in communications. And I think this has been both the strength and the weakness of study in this area. Historical background, I think, has come along two tracks. First is what I would call vocational training. How does the equipment work? How does one get trained for a job in the media, to be a journalist, to be a film producer, to be a television producer? And this has been the background and the heritage from which most undergraduate programs in the U.S. have grown. And as a result, these departments in university environments have not had very much stature. They have been viewed as training programs, vocational programs. And they have not had much intellectual substance to their study. On the other hand, the study at the graduate level has been primarily a fallout of the study of social science. All the social sciences deal with some aspects of communications in some ways. And so communications has been, in a sense, a byproduct of those particular disciplines. In some disciplines, it has been recognized and called communications, certainly coming out of psychology, study of behavior, communicating behavior. In other disciplines, it has simply been a component which has been recognized and treated as one small element in the study of anthropology or something of that order. In yet other disciplines, communications has simply been assumed to be there and to be defined in certain ways. And the best example there, I think, is economics. Economics assumes a certain kind of communicating behavior. It assumes the availability and the recognition and, in many cases, perfect communication as well as perfect information. So in terms of the intellectual pursuit of, say, communicating theory and developments along that line, as I view it, this has come almost entirely from the study of various social science disciplines. There has been an influence, I think, from what we tend to know as the hard sciences, engineering, things of that order. But that's been primarily methodological, to look at their methods of analyzing certain kinds of problems and to take those methods and bring them over to the study of communications. This move, of course, has not been unique to communications. The methods have been trotted over and have been attempted to be incorporated in almost all of the social sciences. So that, in broad terms, is my view of the evolution of the basic components of where communications and the study of communications is today. And as I view it, communications is primarily a social science discipline, and that the social sciences, as traditionally defined, simply apply an arbitrary division of intellectual labor. And this arbitrary division has led to certain benefits and costs. benefits in that it has allowed and encouraged the in-depth pursuit of specifically, and in some cases, very narrowly defined problems. But in that pursuit, it has made sacrifices in terms of what has had to be assumed away about relationships with the other social science disciplines. The more I study the field of social sciences broadly, the more I come to the conclusion that the division of the social sciences the way it has been divided was probably a mistake. I would agree that it is debatable as to whether it has been a mistake historically. If it hasn't been a mistake historically, I think it is a mistake for the future, because we have reached a point of diminishing returns. The further and further in-depth pursuit of individual social sciences will bring you less and less new information at the cost of more and more of an absence of relevant information, because what you don't know or what you assume away about the other social science effects. So I view communications as a challenging area of study at this point in time, because it is one of a great many areas which are going to develop over the next, let's say, 20 years, and we're going to call them interdisciplinary. And the reason we're going to call them interdisciplinary is because they don't fit into the traditional disciplines. And all it is a recognition of the deficiencies of the traditional disciplines. In a way, it's a way of redefining study. And the way we redefine it is we put something between the stools, because we recognize that the traditional classifications don't treat it right. We slice it a little different way. But in slicing it a different way, you want to build on and take advantage of all that is of benefit from the traditional ways of examining issues. And communications is an area which I think has just begun to build on what can be contributed by the traditional disciplines. And it has not developed any particular coherent, systematic body of thought of its own that one could say, here is a common body of knowledge that we define as communications, such as you have in virtually every other discipline. I don't know that it ever will. And I also don't know whether it's desirable. Communications has the additional problem of being so diffuse, so broad, and so diverse that it is a discipline that is the true interdisciplinary subject. There is no intradiscipline. It is all interdisciplinary. So you have a problem of, if that is so, what are you going to pick off and define and call and label communications, no matter how arbitrary that might be? And I think clearly, to organize study, you must do that. And there are no inherent rules which would tell you that certain things should be part of communications and certain things shouldn't. I am struck in looking at your program here that there are parts of it in which I find it inconceivable that the faculty or the students could have much of a common ground of interrelation among one another, simply because the areas are so diverse. Well, I think there's some obligation in defining a program of study, call it communications or whatever you want, that the program of study must have some common ground. The justification for putting two things together in a program is that there is a common base, at least something that warrants putting that together. And if there isn't, then organizationally, I think those kinds of relationships are things that can best be developed in a truly interdisciplinary sense, not within the definition of communications, but between communications and other traditionally defined disciplines. So the problem is not so much finding the natural area of communications. I don't know whether you people get required to read the literature of all those people who over the years have attempted to define what communications is. I think that's one of the silliest exercises I've ever seen. The question is not defining what communications is. The question is defining what you believe is the most logical structure of an area of study, which you will then call communications. Having done that, having defined the area and what you are going to examine and include in your intra-communications definition, include in a program such as this, define your courses, the subject of communications is such that I think that just as important as making that definition, I mean, what subject matter, what kinds of courses, just as important is the matter of building the bridges with the other disciplines as traditionally defined. But the nature of the subject matter is such that if you don't define your relationships with others, with the other social science disciplines, and any other discipline where an area of study requires some knowledge, you are falling into the same deficiency that I think the existing social sciences are coming across today. Namely, you define your area of study in such a way that you assume away the majority of the relevant problems. And if you do that, you are restricting yourself enormously. So the study of communications is not something I think you can view as something that is a coherent body unto itself. You can go and get a degree in economics, anthropology, sociology, mathematics. In communications, I don't think you can say there is a body, you go through, you take those courses, you graduate, you are now an expert in communications. I don't think that's true. I think it will always be such that an appropriate degree of study in communications will involve a substantial amount of interdisciplinary activity, courses from other disciplines, research involving work with people in other disciplines. In my own case, I find the University of Pennsylvania program is very diverse, just as yours. There are people on my faculty who I'm still trying to figure out what they're doing. As I view it, it doesn't make much sense at all. Yet they are pursuing a particular area of study. For some of my work, I do work with members of the communications faculty. For a lot of my other work, I work with people on different faculties. Much of my research dealing with communications policy, I do interdisciplinary work with city planners, engineers, lawyers, and others. I would not dream of recommending that we incorporate or try to incorporate all of those into a program called communications. Then we're simply trying to include the world. So the difficulty that communications has right now, I think, in getting intellectual respectability is that it suffers from the vocational heritage, which still tends to dominate undergraduate programs. And to the extent that it has an intellectual foundation, it is very broad, diverse, and in many cases superficial. But that is not all bad, because the reason it is viewed in this way is because it's being judged in accordance with the criteria of the traditional disciplines, whose problems are exactly the opposite. Too specialized, too narrow, too abstract, without regard to practicalities. So in a sense, communications needs to move in the direction and build on and take advantage of the traditional disciplines, particularly the social science disciplines. But I see developments coming as a result of a breakdown of the traditional definitions of social science disciplines, and also benefits coming from substantial involvement with the practicalities of research. Rather than pencil pushing in a room, I think the majority of the benefits of the future are going to come as a result of theoretical developments that build on empirical research and the examination of problems which require fieldwork and which require an assessment of actual communicating behavior. Now, as to how I would recommend one go about structuring a program, I think that depends heavily on your inherited circumstances. I think in many ways this could lead you to a conclusion that what you ought to do is simply build on your strength. Since we're really talking about doing good work here, wherever you have good people, wherever you have good programs, build on them. If you have them internally, that's fine. If you have some good people in other departments here who are doing work which you would define as being closely related to communications, cultivate those relationships, incorporate them into the program. The difficulty with just taking that as a guideline is that you still don't have any necessary coherent structure of what you're defining as a program. So I think you must define what your objectives are going to be, how you would begin going about developing it, and then begin to fill in the holes where you see present deficiencies existing. And you can fill in the holes either through adjustments in your internal program or through adjustments in your relationships to other disciplines. And I don't view the answer as being one of seeking a specific program where you can say you have the best program. I don't think you'll ever have the best program. You will have a defensible program. And the only thing that should change is that with experience and application, the program should not only be evolutionary and change in desirable directions, but the program should be much more readily defensible as a coherent and integrated structure. I think the greatest difficulty in communications in the future is going to be forcing an integration of people, subject matter, to develop this common ground. In a sense, the common ground in communications today is very limited, and it does not run across virtually any definition of a communications program. Dallas Smythe and I have some common ground. I have some common ground with several other people in the department. You also have people here who I have absolutely no common ground at all. That does not mean that communication should be defined one way or another. It means there's a responsibility to find some bridges and show that there is some common ground for the intellectual inquiry, or else find some other justification as to why these things ought to be grouped together. I think the development, I've had an opportunity to look at your recent curriculum revisions here. I think this is a first step in a continuing analysis which one must take, and I can see steps taken there which certainly brought me a better understanding of possibilities of some integration and some common ground in areas of the department. But this is a process I think that's going to be a very long one. It's one certainly at the University of Pennsylvania we have, I think we're further along than you are, but we've certainly got a long way to go. And the difficulty is forcing the degree of integration is very difficult, because it's very difficult to take someone who's been trained in one discipline and make him believe that he can either learn or contribute to somebody in a discipline that he views as entirely foreign. I really don't know. I have not met your soundscape man here. But I, in looking at the program and what he does, it looks very interesting. But I really don't think I have anything to contribute to him, and I don't think he has anything to contribute to me. Now,
both ways.
The responsibility of the program, I think, is to develop the tie. And the difficulty is, if he's working in his area and I'm working in mine, and we both believe that, subject to force, we may never get together. And if we are part of the same program, and if you accept the responsibility of a developing program of finding the integrated common ground. And if you can't find it and you can't justify it, then you shouldn't have it. Then I think you will either get it or there will be a division of the ways. And that division is probably a healthy one. To be clear what I mean, I do not mean that my side is necessarily communications. What it means is these things are different and there's no justifiable reason for putting them together. And so they ought to have different labels. And in fact, I would be the first to admit that given my training, I really don't view myself as one who is a communications scholar. I'm an economics scholar who's been studying communications and who has concluded that economics has astounding deficiencies to study economics because of its failure to consider the communications implications. So in a sense, I am slicing the social sciences in a way that does not naturally fit into the way we divide the traditional disciplines or the way we have come to define or people have come to define communications. And so to that extent, communications has enormous opportunities but enormous potential for failure. There is a responsibility to define what you're doing and defend it and develop it rigorously and build on available theories that are relevant. But on the other hand, if you try to do that by simply arbitrarily defining it in a narrow way to match the other social sciences, I think that would be a horrendous mistake. And unfortunately, in a lot of the literature in communications, you see attempts to do exactly that. And the question of trying to define what communications is, I think, is exactly that. You define communications in the same way that economics, sociology, political science as an area of study is defined. I think the beneficial intellectual inquiry of the future is coming between the traditional stools. And the deficiencies of communications are exactly the opposite of the deficiencies of the traditional social sciences. And movement needs to be made to be brought them together. And the opportunity for communications is to be a pioneer in the development of this kind of study. So I view the results of a lot of communications research as being beneficial, not to what one might view as communications, although certainly there'll be benefits there. But I consider a lot of the benefits of my own research work to be benefits to economics. I think I have made some contributions to economic theory because of my study of communications. And I think this is the way the evolution is going to come. And there will be modifications in both directions. And I guess in looking at the program and my experience here, just very briefly so far, the thing that concerns me a little bit is the fact that I really have not been made aware of any significant degree of interaction between communication studies and other disciplines. And it doesn't mean there is any, but that's something that concerns me, because I think the strength of your program ultimately depends not only in what you call communications intra-communications, but also on the ties with other departments. So I think with that, Dallas, what I would certainly benefit from would be not only reactions of people here to my view of the situation, but also their student assessments in particular of what they see as strengths and weaknesses of the program that they are in and are going through or are about to complete or they're about to resign from.
A good way to open the floor for discussion, comments, questions.
Well, let me ask.
The only time in 5 years I saw Jonathan's mouth shut. got a new resolution.
Let me ask, what made you define your program with the three areas you did?
I think they were dictated more by who was in the department rather than any both objective look at the field today. I mean, that was my feeling. But that's irrelevant now.
It's what?
It's irrelevant now to this department.
Which?
Why we got three streams.
Oh, I don't think it is.
Certainly,
if I was going to propose a change, the first thing I want to know is what's the reason for what you have.
Can I ask a question? Because it's what seems to be missing from what you said, but you just fill it in. What interests you or excites you about what is going on here?
At Simon Fraser?
I don't mean in BC. Bad time to be excited about
these.
Well,
your political beliefs.
That's true.
I find Vancouver a much more exciting city than Philadelphia, but that's a byproduct. I'd say as you may have inferred from Dallas's introduction, I have done a lot of work in Canada in my research. In many areas of communications, Canada is pioneering in asking the questions as they relate to my areas of interest in communications policy. Certainly, Canada is, that's not the only country in the world, but one of the few countries that has been raising the social and cultural questions as it relates to communications. If I had to pick one government agency in the whole world that I considered is asking the most relevant questions of what's important about communications to society, I'd have to say it's CRTC. Now, they haven't gone too far in answering them, but they are at least raising the questions. In the U.S., you find it particularly distressing because, for the most part, the policymakers refuse to ask those kinds of questions. So if I... In my own research, something like the Children's Television Study. That kind of study probably would not be necessary in Canada, other than what it might contribute to an understanding of the issue and alternatives. But a big reason I did the study is because U.S. policy is dominated by economic considerations. And the view was we cannot establish a policy which would prevent the exploitation of children through hard sell advertising the way it was being exercised, because we need the money we get from it. And also in the U.S., as those of you that have looked at it, I'm sure are fully aware, there's something known as the First Amendment. And what the First Amendment means is the government cannot influence content in any way. At least the public government can't. But all the private governments can. And this has been a battle between the networks and the government in setting policy. But what it has meant is if someone raises issues as to appropriate public policy reflecting social and cultural considerations, that's not even in the area of consideration as a policy matter. So on things like that, I found the Canadian problems very challenging and interesting. Perhaps as much to do with it as anything is the opportunity in a program such as this to develop and apply my definitions of what is appropriate for communications. I talked about defining the areas and then justifying them. At the University of Pennsylvania, I'm in a program that I wouldn't do it that same way. I think the program is good, it's defensible, but it's not the way I do it. Here you have a program which is in the formative stages, so opportunities for development are significant. I think not only the opportunities, but the constraints that tend to get put on you are likely to be as few as they are in any university environment. The longer a university organizational structure exists as it exists, the harder the lines become, the more difficult it is to change it. And in almost all other universities, communications is really suffering from the vocational syndrome. The first job you have is to obtain some intellectual respectability. Here, your structure of having Department of Interdisciplinary Studies.
Faculty
is unique. And practically, one of the things that has really attracted me and intrigued me is the fact that you have a dean over there who has more power than most deans in his position. And so the chairman of your department is likely to have more influence in the university structure than he would have in most university structures. And the birth pang problems that one would have to go through in most places in this first 2 or 3 years, I see you having gone through them. And so those at least are some of the reasons.
Yeah.